Israel's Apostasy at Sinai. St. Helena, California, December 11, 1905. This morning, my heart is full of gratitude to my Savior for His healing power. Yesterday, I suffered all day with heartache as I thought of how Satan is working to gain entrance to every mind that is open to his devisings. He will use his artifice, as he used it among the heavenly angels, presenting his scientific problems to deceive, sowing seed that would bear the fruit of rebellion, and yet working with such apparent innocence that when the seed that he himself had sown had taken root, he drew from the angels expressions of disaffection and then reported the result of his own seed sowing as sentiments held by certain of the angels. This work could not be dealt with until the results of his artful suggestions had fully developed. Today, Satan is doing the same work. For years, he has been seeking to bring false theories into our churches. How to meet this work is a problem that God alone can help us to solve. Satan sought to produce the same results among the people of Israel as they journeyed from Egypt to Canaan. God took Israel from the bondage of slavery and under his own guidance brought them into the Promised Land. Moses, their visible leader, received instruction directly from God. But in spite of the wonderful evidences which the people received that God was working in their behalf, they continually murmured and rebelled. God gave positive evidence that He rules in the heavens, and rebellion was punished with death. Only two of those, who as adults left Egypt, saw the Promised Land. The wanderings of the people were extended until the rest were buried in the wilderness. Today, Satan is using the same devising to introduce the same evils, and his efforts are followed by the same results that in the days of Israel laid so many in their graves. Let us study the record of how Israel, in the side of the mount on which they had shortly before seen so wonderful a display of God's power, were led into idolatry. While Moses was in the mount with God, the people turned aside to idolatry. They worshipped a golden calf, while their leading men proclaimed the sacrilegious message, "These be thy gods, O Israel, that brought us out of bondage." Exodus 32, verse 4. Read the history. Aaron, left in charge of the camp, betrayed his trust. When the people demanded that he make them a god, he called for their ornaments and made them a molten calf. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron, and said unto him, "Up, make us gods, which shall go before us, for as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him." And Aaron said unto them, "Break off the golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me." And all the people brake off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, "These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation, and said, "Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." And they rose up early on the morrow, and offered burnt offerings, and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink, and rose up to play. Verses 1 to 6. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go, get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." Verses 7, 8. At the foot of the mount, while Moses was receiving the sacred oracles, the people, in the charge of Aaron, were worshipping a golden calf. Aaron was not true to the charge entrusted to him. He united with the idolaters, acting the part of an unfaithful leader. From this record, we may learn how little dependence can be placed in men who trust in men and do not make God their dependence. Those who are living in these last days are in the greatest danger of placing their confidence in men rather than in the true and living God. The Lord has given instruction that the history of the apostasy of Israel is now to be presented, because men who in the past have had great light have become self-sufficient and are looking to men, trusting in human leaders who are themselves practicing evil. Men who ought to stand as firm as a rock to principle are treading in the same path that the Israelites followed. Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. This is the snare that has come into our ranks. There are wrong sentiments that have to be met. There are men who are acting the part of Aaron at the very time when every soul should be working to seal the law among God's disciples. They are building up the very things that God has specified should not be built up. A great deal of time and labor and anxiety are required to counterwork the ingenuity of satanic agencies that are pressing their way among those who are ready to accept wrong philosophy and to cause confusion and division when every jot of influence is needed to discern the great evils of Satan's division and to keep souls from being drawn into the net of the modern errants who are saying, "These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go, get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereto, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." And the Lord said unto Moses, "I have seen this people, and, behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation." Exodus 32, verse 7-10. God declared that he would disown the people. He gives them their true character, a stiff-necked people, who would not respect his law or come under his rule. He said to Moses, "Let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation." Verse 10. Moses was tested with the promise of great honor. The Lord declared that he would place him at the head of a great nation. But Moses would not listen to this promise of preferment. Had he possessed a narrow, selfish spirit, how quickly he would have responded to such an offer. But he continues to plead for the erring people. His one great desire is that the glory of God shall be maintained. He desires above all else the salvation of the people for whom the Lord has worked so wondrously. Their remarkable experience in escaping from slavery, the flight from Egypt, the passage through the Red Sea, these are stamped on his mind as if graven in a rock, and he will not let Israel go. Oh, the power of prayer! Moses fills his mouth with arguments which express his own faith, and the Lord, who was testing and trying him, was not angry with him because of his importunity. God had said, "Thy people, which thou broughtest up out of the land of Egypt." Verse 7. But in his prayer, Moses denies this honor. In humble but determined assurance, he turns the people back upon God. "They are thy people," he says. "Thou art their God and owner. Thou broughtest them forth out of the land of Egypt. I did only what thou commandest me. I was but thine instrument, obeying the orders thou gavest me. Thou and thou only couldest do this work." The eyes of all the nations are upon Israel, a people so strongly saved. Oh, do not permit the throne of thy glory to be disgraced. Wherefore should the people say, "For mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth"? Turn from thy fierce wrath, and repent of this evil against thy people. Verse 12. Moses besought the Lord his God, and said, "Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, 'For mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth'? Turn from thy fierce wrath, and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidest unto them, 'I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. Verses 11 to 13. Long before, the Lord could have told Moses of what was taking place. He could have told him that Aaron was not to be depended on. But for wise and holy purposes, he suffered this shameful representation to come to its height. Then, when the leading men had done all that it was in their power to do, he told Moses and sent him down to punish the transgressors. He permitted the evil to develop. He sees what is in the hearts of men. He sees beneath the surface, and he permits evils to take place to prevent still greater evils that would appear unless he permitted the design hidden in human hearts to work out. The leading men of Israel were suffered to develop that which took place in the very site of Sinai. Mark God's words to Moses concerning this apostasy. "They have corrupted themselves," he said. "They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them." Verses 7, 8. Every man is tempted when he is drawn aside by his own lust. The Lord had marked out the right way, and the leaders of Israel had pledged themselves to obey his directions and to follow the way that he had marked out. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, "Thus shalt thou say unto the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." And Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together, and said, "All that the Lord hath spoken we will do." And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. Exodus 19, verse 1, 3-8. After the children of Israel had so shamefully broken their promise by returning to idolatry, Moses stood in the gap to turn away the wrath of God. He earnestly interceded with God in their behalf. He besought the Lord to pardon their transgression. When the Lord responded, "Let me alone," Moses understood that the Lord would not move in his threatened punishment. Exodus 32, verse 10. He could not if Moses' faith took hold upon his strength to make peace for Israel. The record shows the power that prayers of faith, thought offered by frail human beings, have with God. The earnest cry, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me," has saved many a soul. Genesis 32, verse 26. If there were far more urgent intercessions for perishing souls, there would be far more souls saved. Of Christ it is written, "He saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him." Isaiah 59, verse 16. He wondered that there was no man who would lay hold by living faith of his fellow men, and save them with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. He put on righteousness as a breastplate. He was not covering up the sins of the transgressor, but was making the most determined effort to bring the sinner to a sense of the sinfulness of sin. His own hatred of sin, his own integrity brought salvation to the sinner. He put on righteousness as a breastplate and an helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My Spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Verses 17 to 21. What kind of an interest have you at the throne of grace? Make the most of it for the sake of the church. Improve every particle of your advantage for the sake of the erring ones. Call sin by its right name. Do not help the sinner to cloak his sin under a deceptive garment of righteousness. Many today are doing this. The sinner is not saved by smooth words, which palm off sin as righteousness. The teachers of truth are to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides. On the one side and on the other were they written. And the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God, graven upon the tables. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said, "There is a noise of war in the camp." And he said, "It is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear." And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands, and brake them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made, and burnt it in the fire, and ground it to powder, and strawed it upon the water, and made the children of Israel drink of it. And Moses said unto Aaron, "What didst this people unto thee, that thou hast brought so great sin upon them?" Exodus 32, verse 15 to 21. The sin of idolatry is a fearful sin, and Aaron, as a magistrate, should have faithfully discharged his duty instead of engaging with the people in sin. It was Moses who interceded with God to spare his life. Aaron was saved by the prayer of Moses. Aaron did repent, or the Lord would not have pardoned his transgression. He did not stand out in rebellion, but took his stand with Moses, and notwithstanding that he had taken sides with the idolaters, he was saved. And all the people had the opportunity of demonstrating their repentance, and thus saving their lives. Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. Verse 26. Each one was given the opportunity to be loyal to God. And who humbled themselves before God, showing that they desired to obey him, would be pardoned, while those who would not yield would condemn themselves as rebels. There would be no excuse for them. All were given the opportunity of denominating themselves as on the Lord's side, and not on the side of rebellion. All were given the opportunity of placing themselves on the side of right, of showing their determination to be loyal and true, of repudiating their past idolatrous behavior. But in the very presence of God, many refused to repent. They were stubborn in their rebellion. To the sons of Levi, who had taken their stand with him, Moses said, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor." And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. For Moses had said, "Consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day." Verses 27 to 29. Thus was the word of testimony to be borne to distinguish between him that serveth the Lord and him that serveth him not. The crisis had come. Consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. Verse 29. Moses faithfully discharged his duty before that large congregation. He was acting as God's representative. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11. We call upon all to take their stand for the right. We feel deeply for souls. We pray for them and plead with God in their behalf. We are living in perilous times. All who will stand true and faithful will be counted as God's representatives. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, Ye have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto the Lord, and said, Oh, this people have sinned a great sin, and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, Whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Therefore now go, lead the people unto the place of which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. Exodus 32, verse 30 to 34. And the Lord said unto Moses, Depart, and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, Unto thy seed will I give it, and I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. For I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. And when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned, and no man did put on him his ornaments. For the Lord had said unto Moses, Ye are a stiff-necked people. I will come up into the midst of thee in a moment, and consume thee. Therefore now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb. And Moses took the tabernacle, and pitched it without the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass, that every one which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. And it came to pass, when Moses went out unto the tabernacle, that all the people rose up, and stood every man at his tent door, and looked after Moses, until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended, and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped, every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said, If thy presence go not up with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Exodus 33, verse 1 to 23. Moses knelt before the Lord, a humble and importunate suppliant for two very great favors, and as a prince he had power with God and prevailed. Moses was a type of Christ, the great intercessor, whom the Father heareth always. How earnest he is as he pleads for God's presence with him in his work. His experience has led him to place little confidence in human fidelity. His entreaties for the pledge of God's presence with him during the remainder of the journey to Canaan prevailed. And the Lord descended in the cloud, and stood with him there, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him, and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, and upon the children's children, unto the third and to the fourth generation. Exodus 34, verse 5-7.